Hallelujah. Are you okay? Amen. While we're talking on seasons, if you have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a very famous portion of the Holy Writ, and we'll start from there. Praise God. To everything there is a season. Everything has a season. A time for every purpose under the sun. Every purpose has a time, and everything has a season. Say that again. Just get that in your head. Everything has a season, and every purpose has a time. Hallelujah. And we shared a little bit on that last time I was here. And we tried to close that because we are actually speaking on something totally different. But we like these detours, don't you? Yeah, hallelujah. It says a time to be born and a time to die. So dying is part of the seasons of our lives. And Mr. McGregor went home to be with the Lord. We farewelled him on Wednesday. It was a season in his life. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Now, many of us never want to change the seasons. We just want to plant and keep on planting. We just want to build and keep on building. We don't like breaking things down. Are you all right? We want people to just be born and then live forever. How many know that you can't live here forever? And many times our heart is torn because we love people. We don't like the relationship to change. We don't like the relationship to be broken. But the fact still remains that seasons actually change. Are you all right? Now, naturally, I mean, today we go back to the, what's the thing? We change the time again today. It's another season, and season is changing. It's coming into winter. We've had a long summer. However long the summer is, I can promise you, however long the summer is, it's not forever. And however cold, however bitter, however dark the winter is, it's not forever. No season is forever. Hallelujah. And in the evening, when God turns off the sun, even the youngest child knows that it's not forever. So the child will go to bed with a hope that there's a morning coming, because even the child knows that the sun does not disappear forever. Hallelujah. And many times in our seasons in the realm of the supernatural, the realm of the spirit, we have no idea what's going on. Because we have to discern those seasons many times. Hallelujah. Many times when there's a season of people coming to the church and people getting saved, and we like that to just keep on going. Sometimes it, how many know that if you have a baby every month, it's not very nice? If you're a woman and every month you have a baby, hallelujah. And even if you have a baby every year, they say it takes 5 years for the body of a woman to be repaired from one birth. I don't know if that's a medical fact, but that's what they say. That for a woman to be totally back to normal, it takes 5 years from the day that child is born until the day that she's ready again to have another child. Many times we have them 1 year after the other. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Every season has its own labors. It has its own peculiarity. When it's winter, you light fires. Snow turns up. Things that never happened before begin to happen in the winter season. And it's peculiar to the winter. And we know naturally what to do. We put more clothes on and we light fires, we turn heaters on. But we also live in the hope that the winter is not forever. But winter has its own characteristic. Praise the Lord. The trees lose their greenery, but the tree stands in hope that the winter is not forever. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Let me just say a lot of things and then sum it up, make some sense. And then we can have a cup of tea because I'm actually hungry. Hallelujah. Every season has its own peculiarity and every season has its own blessing. There are joys in particular seasons that you will not find in other seasons. And when the snow comes, we can have we can go out in the snow and have fun. And then after the fun, you get cold, get inside. But there are joys and triumphs of each season, and there are peculiarities that are particular to each one. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we go through a season of sorrow, we may not know the joy that comes because we are in mourning. But when we understand that mourning is not a forever season, then we can mourn in hope. And the apostle said, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as though we are those that have no hope. We are sorrowful, but we know there's a hope coming. That sorrow is not forever. That God will turn our mourning into dancing, our sorrows into joy, our nights into day. And even though sorrow may come, and there are things that will not happen in our life without sorrow. Hallelujah. There are lessons that will only be learned in times of sorrow. And there are graces in God that will only come in times of sorrow. Have you ever understood what Jesus said? Blessed are those who mourn. He said, God, how can mourning, how can loss be a blessing? How can you tell me that losing my dad, losing my husband is a blessing? And yet, he's the one that said that. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Because heaven will do something for the mourner that he doesn't do for everybody else. And he'll only come to the mourner. And that's why sometimes you say, how am I going to handle this? I mean, I've known her for so long. My son, how am I going to? And then you find out that there's a grace to handle that. And he said, a lot of people will look at you and say, well, how come he's not... Well, he's mourning, but he's got a different grace from what you've got. But that grace is not available to everybody. And it's not available every day. It's only available in a particular season to particular people that are going through that season. I had a friend lost his daughter, his eldest daughter. A girl went to the hospital. They sent her home. And she died the following day. They sent her home. They said, there's nothing wrong with you. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to say when I get up to say something about her. But when he got up, he was fantastic. And he said to me, I didn't think I was going to be able to say anything. But I was able to say, and he was fantastic, share about the life of his daughter, blessed so many people. But what happened? Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. And there are peculiar characteristics to each season. And there are blessings and graces that God graces us in each season so that we are going to learn how to live. Now, let me draw a parallel. You don't complain in the winter. You just know it's coming. But you also know, however dark it is, it's not going to be there forever. Spring is coming. But you also know it's not going to be there forever. Summer is coming. You know, it goes through winter, spring, summer, and fall. Did you know that in your Christian life, it's exactly the same? Now, you would say, well, I know that. No. You didn't know that. You think you knew that. You go through pain. You go through turmoil. You go through uncertainty. You hit the altar just about every time somebody makes an altar call. And you say, what's wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. Because as the seasons change in the natural, our experiences, even in the spirit, change every day. Sometimes we are triumphant. Sometimes we are not. Sometimes you pray for somebody and you cough and they get healed. Sometimes you spit on their face and they don't get healed. They had to have an operation. Why? Because that's normal, not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And when you understand that, you will not run around, well, where's God? God is the God of the winter and the God of the summer. God is the God of the night and the God of the day. God is the God of the mountain and God of the valley. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in going through different seasons of our lives, God teaches us why. So that we can be like Him in the way we respond not only to the seasons of our lives, but the people in our lives. Now, I don't know if I helped you, but I helped me. You say, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong with you. That's what life is like. Sometimes you are victorious. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes you've got prayers answered. Sometimes your prayers are... Now how many know you got more unanswered prayers than answered prayers? Oh, am I the only one? I mean, you pray a million prayers and about four or five get answered. And you know the answer and you think, why did I waste my time praying a million prayers? Because it's wonderful to be in His presence. Even if it's just for that fact. When somebody is sick, naturally, they may not get healed. Do you know what? Your presence comes. You come to visit. Your presence alone is enough. Whether he gets healed to get out of bed or he passes away because of the sickness, you're coming into his presence. And sometimes, even if the prayer's not answered, the very fact that you come into the presence of God is reason enough to pray for the fact that you come into His presence with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. So, you have peculiarities to each season and you have graces for each season in our lives. It's not easy to see a loved one deteriorating. It's not easy. But you can learn so much. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I'm able to comfort you because I'm able to comfort you with the same comfort that I was comforted with by God when I was in difficulty. Now, if anybody knows how to pray, it's Paul. I mean, the guy wrote about prayer, and I mean, it was amazing. But even though Paul knows how to pray and teaches on prayer, and probably outside the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul probably understood prayer, understood this God that he served. That even when he's in jail, he writes to the church from jail. Huh? I mean, you read those books and you think, well, the guy must have lived in a penthouse. No, he wrote from a stinking Roman jail. And you can glamorize that. It's not a very nice place. But when he writes, you think, wow, this guy is amazing. Hello? When our toast is not buttered, we think it's a crisis. But he writes on prayer and then he says, there is a time in my life when I don't know how to pray. He said, I groan, the Holy Ghost groans, creation groans. I don't know how to pray for and what to pray for as I ought. I don't know how to pray. Now, how can a man not know how? And then he says, and when I don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God will groan through me. And sometimes there are moments in your life when the only thing you can do is groan. And you say, God, you know why? Because God understands the groan. He said, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. Some of us are so clever, we know what to do every time. And I am very uncomfortable around people that know what to do every time. You know, the last time we had an Assemblies of God conference, we printed all the pamphlets, beautiful, and put the wrong date on it. And you know what the executive said to me? Pastor, this is not good. This is a professional conference. We have to reprint everything. I said, no. We just made a mistake. And we will tell people we made a mistake. We're not going to reprint it. And I shared in Auckland at the pastors get together in Auckland. I said, you notice that we've got the wrong date on the pamphlet? We're not going to reprint it. We just made a mistake. One pastor came over and said, that was the most liberating thing I've ever heard for a long, 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 long time. Hello? Some people are so together. They never want anything to go wrong. If you never want anything to go wrong, I can set you free. Get it wrong! And then join the human race. I remember one lady. She was so nervous. They had a gathering. It was a particular culture. I'll not tell you what it is. But they were having a wedding. And she was meant to cut the cake. And she said, I am so nervous. This was way before the wedding. She said, I can't even sleep. I said, what's wrong with you? Said, there is a particular way we cut the cake in our particular tradition in marriages. And I am afraid I'm going to do it wrong. I said, do it wrong. Cut it wrong. She did. She took my advice and cut it wrong. Guess what? She got set free and the rest of her family got set free. Are you all right? And sometimes we don't know the things that we go through. And it is good when those happens. Like Paul said, I don't know what to pray for us. And then when he prayed, God answered the prayer. And he goes, you know, I said, God said, no. He said, what? If anybody knows how to touch the hem of his garment, it's that man. But he said, I prayed three times, and three times God said, no. But every time it happens, my grace will be sufficient. My grace will be there. My grace will be sufficient for you. And then he said, I glory in my weakness. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Because the power of God is made perfect when I don't know what to do. You don't always know what to do. If you do, we ought to be following you. But really we won't. We pray for you because we know you're lying. Hallelujah. So there are peculiarities to seasons, and there are graces for each season and blessings, and we can learn from every season we go through. What you do in one season determines what happens in another. What you do in one season determines what's going to happen in the next season of your life. Job said, as the tree falls, that's where it is. It's talking about life and death. If you live this way and you fall this way, you fall that way because of the way you live. You can't live for yourself and expect the next season of your life to be. You can live for yourself. You can satisfy yourself. But don't, a lot of, I preach at a lot of funerals. Nobody wants to go to hell. But they live like hell here. And then they expect to go to heaven. You don't live for the devil and go to God's heaven. It's how you live in one season. That's how the next season of your life is determined by the things that you do in this season. If you don't plant in this season, you say, well, I don't think the next season's going to happen. I don't think so. So I just won't plant. Well, bless your darling heart. Why? I don't care if you look at another season from the perspective of this season. You may say, well, it looks like there'll never be another summer. So I'll just, it looks like there'll never be another winter. So I'll just do what I want. No. What you do in this season will determine what happens in the next. There's a psalm on Proverbs. It says like this, if you know how to enter, you know how to exit. Hallelujah. It's how you enter. How you enter determines how you exit. And how you exit determines how you enter the next phase of your life. If you exit wrong, you'll enter wrong into the next phase of your life. But if you exit right, you enter right. If you enter right, exit right. It doesn't matter what happens, because all we do in life is enter and exit. That's all. You say, well, that's not, no, that's all. All you do is you enter and you leave. You leave the house, enter the car. Leave the car. Enter the church. Leave the church. Enter the car. Leave the car. Enter the garage. Leave the garage. Enter the sitting room. Leave the sitting room. Enter the kitchen. Leave the kitchen. Enter the wash house. It doesn't matter what you do. That's all you do. You leave primary school. You enter high school. Leave high school. You enter university. And how you leave and how what you do in this season, how you did primary school will determine how you do high school, will determine how you do university. Some people don't know what to do in primary school. They don't know what to do in high school. So they leave. And then they want a job. How many know that's called stupid? Because what you do in one season will determine what happens in the next season of your life. If you never save any money, if all the money that comes you spend on your cell phone and hamburgers, guess what? There's a season in your life when you're going to need some money, but you haven't got any. Because what happens next season is determined by what happened in this season. You know what the Bible says? as long as the earth remains. Hallelujah. I've got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. Is that all right? All right. Genesis chapter 8 says this. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, harvest. You don't harvest when you seed. Between the seeding and the harvesting is a thing called time. Seed, time, harvest. Now, what happens, what your harvest is determined by the seeding. Hallelujah. If you don't seed the ground, guess what? You're going to starve. Cold and heat, winter and summer, night and day. Guess what? However brilliant this morning is, it's not going to last. Night is falling. However dark night is, day is coming. And this goes on in a roll. How long for? As long as the earth remains. Now, let me say this. It says, as long as the earth remains. I'll say it again because you didn't get it. As long as the earth remains. That means there'll be a day when the earth will the earth will not be here. Not as you see it. The things that are seen are temporary. Everything that you see, temporary. But as long as the earth remains, these laws of harvest and seasons will just roll on. Now, how many know that at the end of every winter, there's a sale? Because they're selling their winter clothes. And at the end of every summer, there's a sale. They're selling their summer clothes. A lot of people don't buy that because they think, well, there won't be another summer. Buy some clothes. There's another summer coming. There's another winter coming. But this is what I want to say. And then, because my time's finished. As much as you know to buy stuff at the end of one season, you should learn to discern the end of one season in your spiritual life so that you can stand and get stuff from God. If you are wise naturally, you should also be wise spiritually. Because God has promised, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, but it's by us. If we don't put us in there, the promises are still yea and amen, but it'll mean nothing to us. If you're wise naturally, be wise spiritually. And if you're wise naturally, you will have a cup of tea.